awesome job.
Love you, man.
Good morning. Good morning, Victory Church. Would you give Jesus a bigger hand clap than you gave me?
Come on.
He's worthy. Thank you, Jesus. He's worthy. Inside your worship guides, you should have a sermon note that's in there. And if not, raise your hand. The ushers would be so happy to bring one to you. And also, in case you guys didn't know, you don't have to just take your sermon notes home just loose. You can actually go to our connect area in the back corner of the church and grab one of these notebooks and three-ring binders, and you can put your name on it. You can keep your sermon notes. I've had this for, gosh, a couple of years now. And guess what? You get to take it for free because you already paid for it because we use your tithes and offerings to pay for it. So it's already yours. So just go back in there and take it and avail yourself of that. It's a lot of fun to keep track of it. And then when you look back over the years, you get to see just how far God has taken you in your spiritual journey and how much you've learned and grown. It's really cool to go back and look at those notes over time. So I encourage you to take advantage of that. Go back and help yourself. We've got plenty back there for you. So I'm so excited to share this message this morning. I'm really excited. It's a subject that is near and dear to my heart. But let me preface it by saying this. You know, we're entering this season right now that's about to get very hectic. Maybe for you parents it already is, because kids are back at school and you had to go through the rush of getting them ready. Or maybe you're just enjoying that they're back at school and you're like, oh, I can breathe a little bit. Maybe that's what's happening. But, you know, football season is back. Come on. Gators are coming. We got a new head coach, Dan Mullen. Pray for that man. Pray for Gators. You know, we're coming back. The weather's starting to get a little bit cool by 1 or 2 degrees. right? We're in the low 90s instead of the high 90s. Praise God. Glory. Glory. And holidays are really going to come up very fast on us. So we're actually going to be moving into this season where the pace is going to pick up. Probably going to have a lot of extracurricular activities, a lot of things going on, a lot of trips to meet families, dinners, whatever, okay? And we've just finished a season probably of vacationing, of traveling, summer projects. I know I was trying to do some stuff around the house. And we're probably just trying to catch our breath before we plunge back into the business and the flow of life. Don't you know life is busy? You felt that? The pull, the tug of the flow of our culture. Life is also complicated. Life is busy and life is complicated. Seems like there's always more for us to do and get done. More people to see, more people to meet, more negotiations to be made. It seems like we're just moving at a faster and faster pace, especially as technology keeps ramping up, right? And we just have more and more stuff that we can do and be occupied with. What if we could unbusy our lives? What if I told you could uncomplicate your life? Let's take a look at a scripture out of Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. It says, "This is all that I have learned." This is Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, ever. Solomon writing this. "This is all that I have learned. God made us plain and simple, but we have made ourselves very complicated." I love that verse. We, in our own honest, let's be honest, selfish and prideful nature, when we wake up without coffee, we're selfish and prideful, right? And if we just, without God, that's who we are, but we make ourselves more complicated than really what God intended for us to be. Why do simple things bring us the most joy? Have you ever thought about that? Little things that put a smile on our face. I was thinking about it. I wrote some things down. What about clothes fresh out of the dryer? What about peeling a clementine in one peel? I've only done it once. A perfectly popped bag of popcorn, not overcooked, no kernels, perfectly popped. Has that ever happened? It's like a unicorn, isn't it? I've done it once. Waking up early and realizing you have hours to sleep. Oh, that's a good feeling. When the Starbucks barista spells your name right, I was thinking about you, Lalaine. They always mess up your name. It's L-A-L-A-I-N-E. It's not Elaine. It's not Elaine. It's not Lelani. It's Lalaine. How about this? Finding money in your pocket that you forgot about. That was for you, Lalaine, too. Happens quite a bit. Or the elevator opening the second you push the button.
Oh, yeah.
Listening to a favorite song on repeat. Just love it. Having just enough milk for a bowl of cereal. You go, look at what I've accomplished. I've perfectly used this gallon of milk. Perfect. Taking the first sip of your favorite drink. Watching the Peanuts characters dance. come on, y'all. Watching Peanuts characters dance, that's so much fun. Shaving with a brand new razor. Oh. Brand new razor, I like it. You don't like it? Well, I'm sorry, man. I'll get you a better razor. Popping bubble wrap. Come on. When you find the missing match to your favorite socks. Sleeping in clean, fresh sheets. Yeah. Knowing all the words to a song on the radio. 100% charge on your phone. Laughing so hard it hurts. Finishing a good book. The sound of rain against the window. Singing in the shower. Glory, I sound so good. Catching up with an old friend. The first cool day in fall. I mean, when it's like 68, 70. Oh, not until January, right? Naps. Glory to God. Naps. Sunday naps. Those are anointed naps. And my favorite little thing, which is actually a big thing in my heart, is intimate moments with God. When you spend some quiet time alone with Him and you crack open your Bible and you put on some worship music and you just rest in His presence and you feel close to Him, life is simple. Life is easy. It's like the cares of this life fade away and God's exalted and you're just like, I was made to be in relationship with you. So this message that I'm bringing you is actually a very simple message. It's much simpler than I've ever brought before. But I believe God wants us to bring us back to simple. Let's bring us back to the basics. What if the key to living a happier, more fulfilled life was not filling it with more things to do, but filling it with more of our enjoyment of our relationship with God? Just enjoying God more. Now is the time, I believe, to take a big, deep breath before life gets busy and crazy all over again and just draw close to God with simplicity and devotion. And how do we do that? Like little children. That's the title of this message, Like Little Children. I love it. And I got inspired to title that title out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. Look in your notes with me. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Because, you know, they're all about comparing themselves to one another, and they're all arguing and bickering about, well, who's the greatest? No, I'm greater than you. No. Well, I cast out more demons than you did. No, I healed more people than you did. No. Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. All right? And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. I think that's that last verse, verse 5, I think that's a cool scripture. Take some notes, Will. I think it's a good scripture to put like in every one of our children's rooms. I think it'd be awesome. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Why? God loves children. And whether you're a little baby in a mother's womb or you're 98 years old, you're a child of God. He created you. And he wants a relationship with you. And here's the thing. Jesus is not telling us that we should be childish and immature. That's not it. That's foolishness. That's not right. It's not like not having responsibility. Like when I was a teenager in middle school, during summer break, I would stay up till 2:30 at night playing video games. That's great. But now that I'm a husband and a father, I don't do that anymore. I've put away those childish things, and I don't do that. I take on more responsibility. But God's talking about the heart of a child. He's talking about the innocence and the trust of a little child. A little child is not tainted by this world. And don't you... This is the part when I was doing the sermon prep where I just started crying because the devil has an all-out attack on our kids and this young generation. When I was 11 years old, that was the first time I was exposed to pornography, 11. Do you know what the average age is for kids now? 8 years old. 8 years old. That's a work of the devil. Parents, monitor it. 8 years old. You should never be exposed to it, but 8 years old. Trying to steal their innocence, trying to complicate their lives. God never meant it to be complicated like that. And we wonder why kids are struggling with sexual identity, and we wonder why they're so confused about stuff, and all they want is acceptance and encouragement to be what they feel like they should be. But God said, I never meant you to be that way. I never meant for you to have those kinds of feelings stirred up in you because you've been exposed to some stuff you should have never been exposed to. Just like in the Garden of Eden, look back in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, it says their eyes were open and they realized they were naked. All of a sudden, they felt shame and guilt. And they went hiding from God and they made clothes out of fig leaves to cover them, their nakedness. And Jesus and God was walking in the garden looking for them. And they said, well, we hid from you. Where are you? We hid from you because we were naked. And he said, who told you you were naked? Who told you? Who exposed you to this sin? Who exposed you to the things that, like, sin entered the world and it's been downhill ever since? Like, who told you you weren't pretty? Who told you you were fat? Who told you you didn't have value? Who told you? Who exposed that pornography to you? Who did that? There's an innocence that I believe God wants to bring back to us, and the church is the hope of the world to bring that ability to find that freedom again, to have that innocence restored, that childlike faith restored in our hearts. A little child has curiosity. A little child has excitement, wonder. Gabriel gets, my two-year-old son, he gets so excited over little things, like little things. Dad, 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 yes. Lizard. That's a lizard. He's so curious. This morning, I love just spending some time with him in the morning, just like, he's at an age where he just really likes to cuddle with me, just like I get to hold him in my arms while I do some devotion time on the couch, and he's just resting his head on my shoulder, and he hears a bird chirping, and his head pops up. He's like, what that? I go, that's a bird. Bird? Just the innocence. The curiosity, the wonder, the excitement over a bird singing. And it puts a smile on my face when I see that. Don't you know it puts a smile on God's face, your Heavenly Father, when you get excited about the simple things that He's done in His creation for you? When you look at a sunset and you just smile and just say, thank you, Jesus. Driving through Payne's Prairie or Payne's Lake and you and you just enjoy the view. Thank you, God. Thank you. You know, little children, they have a short memory, right? They really don't hold a grudge. Like, if he throws a tantrum at one point, like 10 minutes later, he's smiling and happy. Tears could have been streaming down his face, and he's just like, and then later, he's just good. He's just good. And he's happy and jumping around and singing and dancing. Little children are persistent. They don't give up. Daddy, 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 daddy. Daddy, yes, 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 I'm, yes. Water? Water? My heart melts, I go, yeah, you want some water? Yeah. I go, oh yeah, let's go get some water. And he takes it and he receives it, he goes, thank you. And he's just so, like, appreciative. He's carefree. Little children are carefree. Don't you know the devil wants to just bog you down with the cares of this life? And God says, come unto me all who are burdened and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. God never meant a relationship with him to be burdensome. He never meant for the word of God to be something that hangs heavy around your neck. He meant to fill you with his Holy Spirit and empower you to be able to live a life that's full of joy, love, and peace. Amen. And the presence of God. In relationship, covenant relationship, communion with him. That's what he always meant for us, every one of us. And you're never too old to have that. And no matter what you've seen in this life, no matter what you've gone through, God can bring you back to that innocence. He can, and he will. There's a reason why we have freedom groups in our church. Really, all small groups are designed to where you can get close to people and find relationship and get to the point where you can build trusting relationships, where you can really take off the mask and be real so that you can minister to one another and pray for each other. In the book of James, chapter 5, verse 16, it says, I believe that's the verse, confess your sins one to another, pray for each other so that you may be healed. And really, if you want to dig really deep into stuff and really get free, you join one of our freedom groups. Experience that childlikeness again. Oh, I love it. There are three areas that we should always be childlike, always. Number one in your notes, childlike in faith. Childlike in faith. In Luke chapter 10, verse 21, it says, at that time, so what time is this? At that time, so the context of this is the 70 disciples that Jesus sent out, he empowered them, go, cast out demons, heal the sick, and preach, you know, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. He's telling them to go declare the good news, all right? And they come back so excited. They're just like, oh my gosh, the demons even obey us in your name, in the name of Jesus. And he said, don't marvel at that. Yeah, that's great, but don't marvel at that. Marvel that your name is written in heaven. Marvel that you're in relationship with God. Marvel that you're like a little child who's going, you're going to see your heavenly Father in heaven one day. Marvel at that. Marvel at that. So when they came to him all excited, he was excited with them. And it says here, at that same time, Jesus was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit, and he said, oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. Why? He loves children. He loves that innocence, that trust. It's all about trusting God. Childlike in faith means you have faith in God, trust in God, and you're obedient. When Gabriel believes that I'm telling him to do something that's for his good, and he's still learning that. It's a learning curve when he's 2 years old. But when he gets it and he understands, one, he knows I love him so much and I got his back. Two, he trusts me. And when he obeys, gosh, it fills my heart with joy. One, knowing that he's protected and he's not going to get hurt. But two, knowing that it's an act of love to do that. Childlike in faith. And what will happen? Like, when you're childlike in faith, it goes from religion to relationship. It goes from information to revelation. Come on. The Word of God comes alive. You receive revelation from the Holy Spirit. You walk in power to minister to others. These 70 disciples walked in power to minister to people and to make a difference. To make a difference. That's why one of our values as a church is to have fun, because we want to choose joy. We want to choose to have fun. We want to be childlike in our faith so we can walk in the power of God to make a difference. Come on, somebody. Amen. And the second area that we need to be childlike in is in hope. Hope. I love this psalm out of Psalm 131. It's actually the whole psalm, so I could have just put 131. A song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. Catch this. A psalm of David. A song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. So these are people who are on a spiritual journey, right? How many know all of you are on a spiritual journey? You're going somewhere, and you're on a spiritual journey in this life. Well, these pilgrims are trying to ascend to the city of God, Jerusalem, all right? How many know in the book of Revelation talks about when Jesus returns, he's going to bring down the new Jerusalem, the city of God. He's going to bring it down to earth. There's going to be a millennial reign with Christ. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, it's going to happen for real. And it's going to be justice, and there's going to be peace, and it's going to be amazing, all right? But for now, we're on this journey like these pilgrims, okay? And it's a Psalm of David, one of the greatest worshipers in the Bible, wrote most of the book of Psalms, the largest book in the Bible. I mean, it's big. Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. So what is that? He's talking about some keys to having, to finding success on this journey to God. Lord, my heart is not proud, so I'm humble. My eyes are not haughty. I'm not looking down on people. Right? What happens when you get over and you got some accomplishments under your belt? You start looking down on people like, that guy doesn't have it together. I got it together. Right? I don't see my 2-year-old son in his daycare. I don't see any of the kids looking down on any of them, anyone. They're not haughty. I don't concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp. Instead, I have calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Oh, Israel, put your hope in the Lord now and always. You know, for the longest time, I didn't understand what this scripture meant. What does it mean to quiet and calm myself like a weaned child? The way we weaned Gabriel off of milk was very gradual, and it wasn't like all, I don't think we had too many issues weaning him off. But and at this time when this was written, and the tradition that Hebrew children went through, they were weaned from milk as late as the age of 3. Yeah, that's I'm glad we don't do that anymore. Like, at least Lillian and I didn't. And what happens, the mother decides, all right, now it's time for you to be off of milk, all right, and stop being dependent on this for comfort, right? Now it's time to eat food because you got teeth and it hurts. It's like, now it's the time you need to eat some food. It's a shock to the child, and the child thinks he wants milk, but he wants comfort and satisfaction, okay? Now the child learns to find the comfort in simply sitting on the mother's lap, hearing the voice, touching her face, and there's a deeper relationship that happens there. Like, oh, I don't want you just for what I can get as far as milk and stuff. Like, now I have this relationship with you that's developing a deepness to that relationship. And the child learns about the flavor of different foods and the joy that brings, and his hunger is satisfied in that way. And the Hebrew community, when they would watch that and see that the child had calmed himself, they would actually rejoice and actually throw a party because it was such a big deal and a big step for that child's maturity and development. Think about our relationship with God. When we learn to stop focusing on our own needs, but then focus out and just say, God, I just want a relationship with you. And I just want to, I mean, in this journey, we're this life is passing away very fast. And then we're going to spend eternity in heaven, eternity. And you think food is good here. Imagine the food in heaven. Oh, there's going to be a lot of Filipino food in heaven, a lot. Yes, there is. Lumpia and pancit and, oh, I love it. My wife is Filipino, if you didn't know. It's going to be lots of good food up in heaven. But this journey that we're on is really God showing us, okay, here, I'm going to wean you off of this world and everything that you think you want in this world that's going to bring you happiness and comfort and satisfaction. And what really is going to bring all that is a relationship with me. And then when you graduate from this and you're weaned off of this world, you get to spend eternity with me. Don't you love that? And this is what David said he did. He quieted himself and calmed himself because he received that. And then what happened? Oh, Israel, put your hope in the Lord. He had faith like a child in the hope that he's going to see God, in the hope that we got heaven for eternity. So there's a progression here. You need to be humble, right? You need to trust, and then the peace will come, and the comfort to your heart will come. Does that make sense? Oh, I love that. Childlike in hope. And the third area that we need to be a childlike is in love. Love. I'll say it this way. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Okay, think about it in the terms of a little child. This means, like, a little children, they go all out. They don't do anything halfway. Gabriel's not walking gingerly. He's running, okay? I hear the little feet patter when he runs from one room to the other, right? He goes all out. If he's playing with some, we have like this little water toy in the backyard that kind of houses a bunch of water and has these contraptions where, like, it's really cool. I was like, I never had anything like this as a kid. Like, he's so spoiled. He's awesome. And so he's just like playing with all this stuff, and it's just, but he goes all out. I mean, he gets soaking wet by the end of it all, and he's just having the time of his life. He goes all out. What would happen if we would go all out in our love for God? What would happen if we go all out in our love for God? Selah. Just think about that for a second. Glory to God. There's some fill in the blanks here, and we're going to take it one by one. What if we'd go all out in worship? Worship. What if we go all out in worship? Do you know what I love when I come home? After long days, you know, worked in the church office, and I've been out, and I've been working hard, right? And I come home, and I hear that Gabriel has heard that I'm home. And Lillian goes, oh, who's that? Is that Daddy? And he goes, oh, Daddy? Daddy? And I hear him in the other room, and I hear the pitter patter patter patter. And he turns the corner, and he goes, ah! I'm like, come here! And he goes, ah! And he runs to me with his arms up, and I pick him up in my arms, and I swing him around, and we just have fun for like 30 minutes to an hour. It's so great. Imagine what worship would be like if you throw up your arms and just so, God, I love you. God, I praise you. And you don't care what anyone thinks. You don't care what anyone thinks. You just love God. And you want to give him the glory that he's due. You want to worship him in spirit and in truth with energy and excitement because you love him. Imagine what would happen. Best worship experiences that I've ever had where I experienced the power and presence of God in a real tangible way was when I went all out in worship. God loves it. Why? He loves the relationship. He wants us to be childlike. We'll run up to him. I love you, God. Bible even says, men everywhere. Come on, men. Let's rise up and be examples. Come on. Lift up holy hands before the Lord. Praying, lifting up holy hands. Come on. Let's do it. Don't be proper in church on Sunday and go crazy in the football stadium on Saturday. Don't do that. We go, it's good. It's good to be in a relationship with God. It's better to be in a relationship with God. Worship. Go out and worship. What if we would go all out in prayer? What if we would go all out in prayer? Imagine what it looked like. Where we go, you know what? You understand the power of prayer. If you understood, there's lots of scriptures about it, and I don't have time to go into it all, but I can give you a resource that's on our website. In fact, you can pick up a resource that's in the back corner of the Connect area. It's a prayer guide that we print out for everyone. It's on that shelf, a prayer guide, where you can learn all these different kinds of ways to pray. And I'm telling you, you go out, you're going to experience more power in your life. You're going to experience God moving in your life. You're going to realize that you have power to pray for your family and see lives change in your family. You're going to be able to pray for your boss and your coworkers and see their lives change, see them come to know Christ. You're going to be able to pray. Now, prayer is just communication with God. It's talking with God. And I love the way Gabriel talks to me. I love the way it's just, water. It's like everything that he wants and talks about is the last word of the sentence. He's still trying to work out his sentence structure here. But he knows to end it with whatever he's excited about. Lizard. Mommy? And it's like, I love it. I love the way he enjoys just talking to me. Imagine what it would look like if you would just go back to a childlike faith, hope, and love where you go all out in your prayer time and talking to God. Imagine what that would look like for you. I'm telling you, those intimate moments that you have with God are going to be so satisfying, and you're going to be like, I can't wait for heaven. And all the cares of this life aren't going to weigh you down when you're able to pray and throw yourself into prayer. What if we'd go all out in our Bible reading? What if we'd go all out, and be like some of us, I'm sure, have never read the Bible in 1 year. And because we're viewing it through the lens of works, instead of viewing it through the lens of a relationship on fire, relationship with God. Now, we got resources on our website, victorychurchgainesville.com/resources, where you can go through daily Bible readings and all that stuff. It's there for you. But if you view it the wrong way, it's going to feel like a burden. View it the right way, excitement just to get to know God, then a resource like that will actually be more life-giving to you.
Yeah, that's good.
Right? Yeah. And I'm telling you, when you throw yourself, there are times I can look back where I would read something and the Holy Spirit just brings it to life and I see how it applies to my life and I just go, and I start crying there for tears of joy because I'm just like, God, you showed that to me. That's awesome. Oh, and you're so amazed at what God reveals to you. Listen, that's not just for pastors preparing for a message. That's for everyone. Thank you. Come on. That's for every one of us. That revelation that God wants to give by his Holy Spirit, that intimacy with God, is for everyone, every one of his children. Imagine what it would look like if we go all out in church. Like if church was a party every Sunday where we're celebrating God, we're giving him glory, lifting up his name. He said, if you lift up my name, I draw all men and women unto me. Imagine what would happen if we just go all out. And we don't just wake up and go, do I feel like going to church? What? Do you feel like going to church? I walk in front of people on Sunday. I go, it's Sunday. It's Sunday. And I'm excited because I love God. I love being in his presence. And I love God's people. Childlike in love means you're just, you know, Gabriel loves being here. This is how I know the presence of God in here is in here, because my child loves being among all of you. And we felt so good when he was really little, just handing him off to people and having different people hold him and stuff. And he just has fallen in love with this church. I see it. There's so much freedom. Gosh, there's freedom when you're childlike. There's so much freedom. He just runs around everywhere. And he bumps into stuff, but that's okay. But he runs around. Bumps into people, but it's okay. You love him and you show him love. Imagine what all of us just run around loving each other. Whew. jumping into small groups and relationships like never before. Stop making excuses to not be in relationship with people in the body of Christ and just going all because you love God, childlike in your love, and you love God's people. And you got to be around them because we're the family of God. Imagine what would happen if we were go all out in serving. If we go all out in serving. Here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying putting too much on your plate where you get burnt out. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about serving with the spiritual gifts that God's given you. I'm talking about serving in the area where you are uniquely called and gifted to make a difference. And what if we would go all out in doing that and say no to the other stuff? Come on, one of my responsibilities is being Dream Team coordinator here. Those are our ministry teams. And I've had conversations like this recently where it's like, you know, we're concerned that people are getting burnt out in different places. Well, one, are we doing it with a childlike excitement? What's our reasoning for serving? Is it because we love God and we love people? Okay, if those boxes are checked, then are you serving in the place where you're best gifted, where you're going to experience fulfillment? And then we have that conversation, and we help you on your spiritual journey to find that at Victory Church. Can I free you all up? If you're serving in a place where you're feeling like, let us know. We want to help you find your next step. And God will provide someone who will fill that need because God has equipped people to serve in the church with their spiritual gifts. Okay? This is not a burden. What would happen if we just go out serving in the area where God called us to serve? What would happen if we go all out serving and giving? That's the last thing. Giving. Radical generosity. Radical. What would happen? I'm telling you, what I loved about Serve Day this summer, when I got to go to the different houses that we were serving, and we were helping people with disability, helping people with accessibility issues. We're helping people in need, and we're giving of our time, our talent, and our treasure. And the difference it was making on their faces, this one woman, she was just crying at the end of it, just thanking us. And it's wonderful to see. What would happen if we'd go out in our giving of our time, talent, and treasure to make a difference in our community? What would happen if we just go out and we touch people with the love and power of God? Again, in the area where we're gifted, in our spheres of influence, on our jobs, in our families, in our neighborhoods, to our neighbors. What would happen if we'd be like little children? I'm telling you, the excitement is contagious. The love of God is contagious. Being childlike in faith, hope, and love, that's contagious. It's so much fun, and it really ministers to people, and it causes them to just evaluate their lives, and they go, okay, this person has something that I don't have. What is it that this person has? And it's a relationship with God. It's a relationship with God. We do all these things with a heart of love for God, not out of duty, but out of delight. And we don't want something from you, we want something for you at Victory Church. That's the truth. We don't want something from you. We want something for you. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? And let's just reflect and pray and invite the Holy Spirit to just examine our hearts. And I know God's speaking to a lot of you this morning, and maybe you needed to hear this. And maybe you just needed to be reminded that we overcomplicate stuff in our relationship with God. That's how religion happens. Just a bunch of do's and don'ts, but God wants relationship. God wants relationship. How many of you are going to commit to being childlike in your faith, in your hope, in your love? Go and raise your hands and just show me. How many of you are going to commit this week? Come on. So proud of you. So proud of you. Awesome. Go ahead and lower your hands. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray that you would really bless them, Lord, in their walk with you. In every area, God, let them go all out in their prayer time. God, in their worship time, in their devotion time to you, Lord, in their relationships with the church and the family, God, in reaching out to their community and their spheres of influence, God, bless them, equip them, Lord, restore to them the joy of their salvation in Jesus' name. Lord, bless them in this way. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, this whole message was about relationship with God and about being childlike. That's how you got to enter the kingdom of heaven. And listen, if you're here today and you know, you're not on your way to heaven, you don't know if you're going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. You just don't know. But you know you're far from God. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? It's an important question. You can't just answer it flippantly. You got to know for sure. Bible says, these things I write to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. You got to know that you have eternal life. And you can. There's got to be a time in life where you completely surrender your life to Him, to God. Surrender your life to Him. You ask Him to forgive you of your sins. You ask Him to come into your heart. You make Him the Lord of your life. You put your trust in Him like a child. And you receive forgiveness. And you receive this free gift of salvation. If you've never done that before, that's why you're here today. But maybe you've done that in the past, but you know you're not where you want to be with God. You know you're far from Him, but you want to get back on track. Well, that's why you're here today too, to get back on track with God. And in a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But if you would be so bold, if one of those two apply to you, you want to start a relationship with God or you want to get back on track with God, go and raise your hand right now and be bold. I see you there, brother. I see you. Go and raise your hand and be bold, and I'll count you in this prayer, and we'll all pray with you. I won't have you stand up or come forward. I won't embarrass you in any way. Just raise your hand, and I'll count you. All right. Thank you. Everyone, pray this prayer with them. Help them out. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I know I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I surrender all to you. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lead me and guide me. I want to know you, and I want to know you more. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Give God praise for those people who made that decision this morning.